I invite you this evening to turn with me in your Bibles to the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34. Our scripture reading and sermon text for this evening as we draw near to the table of our Lord. And before the reading of the Word of God, let us call upon the Lord and ask Him for His Spirit's illumination. Shall we pray? Father, You have told us in Your Word, through Your Son, that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. We ask tonight that You would send Your Spirit upon us, that through the Word that is preached, through the word that is a visible proclamation, we might truly be fed and satisfied and be assured, as the prophet said so many years ago, that if we come to the Lord, if we come to You as those who declare our own bankruptcy, our inability to buy, You will give unto us at no cost the richest affair. That which satisfies both for the present time and for eternity. And so, Father, we pray by Your Spirit's blessing, encourage us and bless us with the gospel of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel 34, this is the Word of God for the people of God. The Word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The stray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed in the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and all the places and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Here ends the reading of the Word of God. May the Lord bless us to our hearts tonight. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the imagery of the shepherd is a prominent one in the Bible, is it not? Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We often think of the shepherd in terms of the care for the sheep, and we associate quite often the imagery of shepherd with pastor. A shepherd is a pastor. A pastor is a shepherd. He tends the flock. He provides food. He provides protection. He cares for their well-being. But did you know that in the Old Testament in particular, the imagery of the shepherd is not first of all related to the office of priest, but to the office of king. We have tonight an indictment against the kings of Israel. The Lord exposing them for all of their corruption. But not only that, by exposing their corruption, the Lord also draws our attention by his servant Ezekiel to another shepherd. Tonight, I proclaim to you God's word. As we hear this theme explained to us, the Lord promises the good shepherd for his exiled, wayward people. And when I speak tonight of the exiled, wayward people, I am referring not only to those people of Israel who were carted off to Babylon, now living in exile along the river, as Ezekiel explains or describes the scene people who are without a country, people who are without an identity, as it were. This is also a description of us, who through our sin have lived in a far country. The Lord says to us tonight, I will provide. I myself will provide for you a shepherd. Two things tonight I draw to your attention. First of all, we see very clearly from this chapter in Ezekiel's prophecy, the desperate need for the good shepherd. And then very briefly tonight, in the second place, the gracious provision of the good shepherd. I don't know how familiar you are with this prophecy of the Old Testament. We don't hear very many sermons preached from it, do we? But it's a major prophecy in the Old Testament. In fact, one can hardly read the book of Revelation and understand it clearly without understanding something of the prophecy, the ministry of Ezekiel. Boys and girls, we do know this about Ezekiel. He was called to serve as the Lord's prophet at around the age of 30. He was, by his own upbringing, by reason of his family association, and by reason of his training, he was a priest among God's people, his covenant people. He ministered most likely near the temple. He did this work on behalf of the Lord for the people of the Lord. But Ezekiel lived during the final stages of the Davidic dynasty. That is to say, boys and girls, Ezekiel was a prophet called by the Lord during the final days of that southern kingdom we call Judah. We're seeing, Ezekiel has witnessed with his own eyes, and he records for us, the demise of that kingdom. It has lost its glory. In fact, the theme of glory is a prominent one in Ezekiel. Glory is, in the Old Testament in particular, the concept of the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord, the presence of His grace, of His protection, of His leading, of His love surrounding His people. And that glory, which was depicted in the Old Testament as a cloud, it descends upon the temple when the temple is completed in Solomon's reign. And now the glory is departing. Ezekiel was one of the first to be carted off to Babylon. He's one of the first exiles. You understand, of course, boys and girls, that the people of the southern kingdom were not all transported at one time. It came in stages. He was one of the first ones to be exiled. And the Lord says, you are to prophesy. You are to prophesy from Babylon in this foreign nation under a foreign king, a concept that any faithful Israel could not have imagined in his lifetime. He is to prophesy back to those who are living in Judah in those final days. This is the Lord's indictment upon the kingdom of Israel. And at one point in this prophecy, the Lord tells Ezekiel, as a young man, relatively speaking, that his wife is going to die. His young wife is going to die. But he must not mourn. He must not mourn. He must keep his mouth closed. He may sigh, the Lord says, but he may not wear the funeral garb. He may not wail and moan like a mourner would in the ancient world. He is to keep his mouth shut. He is to testify to his fellow Israelites of the judgment that is to come. He is to speak of the judgment of the Lord against the nations surrounding Israel, nations that sought Israel's demise. They're not going to escape the Lord's judgment. But then at chapter 34, Ezekiel is told now to open his mouth and to speak at this point, not against the surrounding nations, not even against Babylon and its fierce leader, but he is to speak to the Israelites. In particular, he is to speak to the ruling class. Josiah was the last, shall we call him, reformer among the kings of the southern kingdom. His descendants following him brought the nation down to ruin. Ezekiel is witnessing this event as he's seeing his countrymen brought into the land of exile. Why? Well, this is the story of Israel's monarchy brought full circle, is it not? How did that monarchy begin? Did it not begin with the people saying to Samuel, "We want a king, an earthly king, a king that we could see, a king who could parade down our streets, a king who would live in a castle, in a fortress, a king who could lead us to battle like all the other kings of the surrounding nations." Now this was in spite of the fact that the Lord had led them miraculously through the Red Sea. He delivered them from Pharaoh's army. He brought bread from heaven. He said, "Not good enough. We want a king like all the nations." And so the Lord says, "Fine. You shall have what you want." And slowly but surely, the kingdom falls into ruin. Why? Listen carefully to what our text says, particularly verses 11 through 24. Listen to the indictment of the prophet. How would you explain the demise? Does the Lord ascribe it to economic policies or military policies? Does the Lord ascribe this to the kind of things that we would judge to be the reason for a nation's demise? All the indices, we call them, of one's vitality as a nation. No. We hear of no such thing. Instead, the Lord directs Ezekiel to bring the word to bear upon the shepherds, the ruling class of Israel. He says, "You want to know why my judgment has fallen upon you? Do you want to know why these people are being carted off into exile? Do you want to know why this whole thing has come to ruin? It's not because I have failed you. You have failed me. In particular, you rulers, you shepherds. Look at what you've done. You have been called to serve as my appointed kings, my monarch. You are to serve my people. You are to shepherd them. You're to feed them, to find good pasture, to protect them. To those who are sick and wounded, you're to bring healing. You're to bind them up. To the wayward, you're to go out and find them." But what do we read of instead? The monarchy of this kingdom, for all of its initial glory, for all of its hopefulness during the reign of Solomon and David, is a kingdom marked by abuse. Pastoral abuse. Kingly abuse. David, when he speaks of the good shepherd, the Lord being the shepherd, his shepherd, he's thinking of the Lord as king. The king who guides him, who walks alongside of him through the valley of the shadow of death. "Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." But in Ezekiel's day, that has fallen by the wayside. He says, "No, instead of feeding and providing and protecting my sheep, my people," the Lord says, "you have fattened yourself off of my people. You have abused them. You have abused your office. You feed yourselves. You plunder them. You warm yourself. You make garments out of their wool. When one wanders and strays, you don't go after it. You couldn't be concerned with it. You're concerned only for your own selfish needs. When one is sick, do you bind it up? No," he says. "You let it suffer and you die." This is a description, by the way, of the people of Israel. There is a desperate need for something better, something different. This is the point of bringing this to the light of day. Israel would not secure her future by her own means and by her own corrupt leaders. This cries out for the need for something far better, something far more secure. That's why, secondly, the Lord speaks not only of a desperate need for the Good Shepherd, but the gracious provision of the Good Shepherd. The prophecy of Ezekiel is one describing the glory leaving the temple, But then ultimately the glory of the Lord returning and settling upon the people of God. But how will that take place? Oh, if only we find the right man. If only we have the right military plan. If only we make the right alliances. No. The Lord says through His servant Ezekiel, I myself, in other words, in the original, this is emphasized in order to make a point. Not you. Not your crying out for a king like all the other nations, but I myself will provide you with a shepherd. Well, this has the echo of Psalm 23, looking back upon the kingdom of David. But do you not hear, brothers and sisters, the language, the voice of Jesus Christ? The Lord says, I myself will provide a shepherd, and he shall be David, my servant. Which is to say, he shall be of the line, the household, the lineage of David. He will be great David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the contrast is as stark as it could possibly be. Israel had known nothing but its leaders, its monarch, its shepherds, devouring the people, plundering them, muddying the pastures, muddying the waters, leaving the bruised and the broken to die, letting the wandering go off their own way and be destroyed so that the people are prey to the wild animals. This is what they had. And the promise the Lord makes is that He will provide them with a good shepherd. And that good shepherd will deal tenderly with His people. The wayward, He will set off and go, even if it means leaving behind what? The 99. For one sheep, He will go after that sheep. And He will rescue that sheep from the mountainside. And He will carry it back. And when He brings back that lost sheep, the angels of heaven itself will rejoice. He will not selfishly use the sheep for His own purposes. But rather, He will come. And as He shepherds, He will say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. Do we not hear the voice of Jesus Christ? Do we not hear the gracious provision of a Savior, of a true shepherd? But let's not make this abstract tonight. As we come to the table tonight, think with me for a few moments of what a blessing this is to you and to me. The Lord looks out upon the people of this congregation. He says, you come to me broken, bruised, battered, for any number of reasons. You come hungry and thirsty. You come as those who have wandered far. Come to me, for I will seek you out. I will carry you to myself. I will hold you against me. And I will feed you. Not by plundering other sheep. I will feed you with my own crucified body. I will give you drink from my own crucified blood. My dear friends, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The one who was given to us, not merely to talk about salvation, but as the good shepherd to lay down His life for His sheep. For as He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. And to those of you tonight who are broken and weary, who are hurting spiritually, the Lord says, be of good cheer. I will bring blessing to you. I will bind up your wound. For those of you who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, come, says Jesus, come to this table, delight yourself in the richest affair. Eat. To those who have been wayward, the Lord says, I have sought you out, and I have called you my own, and none who are in my Father's hand can be snatched from his hand. The Lord promises the good shepherd for his exiled, wayward people. This was true for Ezekiel's day, and it is true for us who live now in the light, the work, the ministry, the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Let us pray. Father in heaven, now as we draw near to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would bring healing to those who are broken and wounded, strength to those who are hungry and thirsting, and security to those who have wandered far. So, Lord, bless this to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.